I know a guy who does not have the bird flu. That's Don Green. We're going to head up and talk to him. Don, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm fine. Don, I got to ask you a quick question.
Okay.
What is your favorite freshwater fish?
To eat or to catch?
Just answer the question, Don.
My favorite freshwater fish is a close thing between bass and brim.
All right.
Now, when I say brim, I mean all of your species of that's called brim. I love both of them, and I guess because I fished a lot of tournament trails a lot of years, most people think I'm just a bass fisherman, but that I fish for all fish, and those are my two favorites.
Well, I'm with you on the brim. That's my favorite to eat by far, and I don't know, something still, I guess it's just a deep-seated childhood thing. I still get really excited to catch a big bull brim.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's that thing, you're like, I love my shell cracker, you know. Shell cracker's got the whitest meat. Their meat's kind of like a flounder, you know, it's real white. It's just a thing about it. It's just better than any fish I've ever eaten. I love shell cracker.
Yeah. Well, good deal. Well, Don, we've got a flooded delta, am I right?
Right. It's just about a carbon copy of what it was last Thursday. Coffeyville's around 30 feet. We're about 28 feet. Alabama at Claiborne's 35, and Barry's is 7.7. They're all dropping, but this is a yo-yo time of the year, you know. We're going to have rain the next 2 days, so that drop may end up rising again.
Well, speaking of yo-yos, when I've been in the Delta when it's like this, I know we've run some limb lines for catfish. Is that something that is going to be pretty good right now?
Right. Limb lines are great. You know, yo-yos, if people know what they are, they are probably the best thing to use instead of a limb line because they give and take, you know, and they'll keep a fish on longer.
Right.
But you got to watch them because I have used them before and have to leave to go to another area and come back and be gone.
Yeah,
they can be. They don't fool the limb line, but they will take a yo-yo.
Yeah, no doubt about it. What kind of bait do you like for limb lines?
Well, this time of the year, if I can get some shad, anything like that, fish are good. But as far as year round, now springtime, I love crawfish.
Yeah.
If you know a place to go catch some crawfish, you know, a ditch, most ditches have them right now, you know.
Right.
And
right.
You can catch a mess of crawfish. That's a great bait. Later on in the spring, I just about stick with shad until the summer. Now, in the summertime, you got your major rivers are full of mussels. All you got to do is get around the edge of a sandbar on the lower end, wade out about knee deep, and you can feel them down there. You can pick up all you need. And that is the best bait for staying on the hook and catching catfish most times of the year, but that's usually the time you'll find most of the mussels is in the summertime.
Oh, okay, great. That's a great tip. I've never used those. We've used crawfish and shad and other things, but that's a great tip.
Now another thing, if you're a bayliner down here in the lower delta right now, is the time to fish baylines for catfish.
Okay.
If you do that, if you can go to one of these markets that have beef or pork hearts, beef hearts are my favorite for bay lines, and you put it on that hook, he's not gonna get it off. It won't come off. And you can catch two or three catfish on one piece of beef heart.
Well, Don, for the listeners who don't know what a bay line is, and I'm one of those people, tell them what that is.
Okay, you can go out into usually. This time of year, the catfish are moving out of the deep water, going into back of the bays, into the creeks and things to spawn. Okay, the lower end of your bays have it's just a slight drop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on in that area, you've got snails, all types of mollusks, you know, mussels, whatever. They will get on that and hold sometimes. Well, just 4 or 5 feet deep is about as deep as it gets. But you can put a bay line on up to about 3 feet of water. Okay, here's a way to put a limb line. I mean a bay line out. Take you some saplings, you know, a young tree that you can just cut off and make a good pole out of it. Stick it on one end. Go about, well, what I usually do, I don't stick the other pole down till I start putting my bay line out. First of all, I'll just put the line and the hook, just like a trot line. Okay, when I get it to the other end, I'll stake the pole down, tie it off. Then I'll go back down putting the lines on. About every 5 hooks or 6 hooks, I'll put a gallon milk jug to hold it off of the bottom. Between those jugs, you want to put a small weight to hold it down to keep it from drifting any.
Mm-hmm.
All right, do it all the way to the other side. Put your hooks on, then bait it. The reason I say bait it the last time, because sometimes you can be putting that thing on. If you bait it to begin with, you'll have them tugging at it while you're trying to get it out.
Right.
That's just how many fish is down there.
Well, that's a great tip, Don. Thank you very much. I think that's probably the best bet for this weekend with the floodwaters like they are. Get out there and try you some catfish. Thanks,
here
Don.
Is.
Have a good weekend.
Okay, thank you.
All right, folks, let's head on down to Mike Thompson. Mike, we were talking catfish with Don. What's going on around the causeway?
Well, the guys that, got a bit of experience are still catching the bass in the shallow bays. The water has been down, but if you have enough time up in those certain bays, you know where the deep parts are,
mm-hmm.
and they're catching some quality bass on spinnerbaits in some of those bays. I don't want to single out any because it's but a limited area under a lot of pressure, but been some real pretty fish caught there. The guys that are fooling with the brim, it's kind of slacked off a little bit in the creeks, and everybody's looking more towards catching the bass right now anyway.
Right.
Still catching the redfish over on the causeway, mainly below the interstate. They're catching a few around the pylons around the interstate, around North Pass, and they're starting to catch a few good speckled trout, you know, in the sanctuary holes like Fly Creek, the Mobile River, Arlington Channel, and, they're catching a few specks in Dog River as well. So things are looking up versus a week ago.
Yeah.
They're actually looking up. Now, I got some information for the listeners that if they don't know, they really need to know. Cedar Point Pier opened back up.
Yeah.
And it opened back up like gangbusters. They are banging the big redfish down there.
Okay.
And they're catching them on cut mullet on the bottom. They're catching a few ground mullet down there. An occasional trout they're catching down there. But what's been very surprising is towards the shallower areas of the pier, they're catching some, you know, pretty decent-sized flounder.
Okay.
Which that kind of surprised me. And there's also been some guys that are going out gigging flounder at night. They're not very big. You know, they have to be 12 inches to be legal. But they are picking up some, so that's very encouraging.
Yeah, that's good to hear. I know, you know, flounder is one of those species that they have a mystique to them. Not a lot of people really know how to fish for them. It's something I love to catch them, love to fish for them, but that's good. That's a good report. That's good to hear. What about the sheep's head situation? That ought to be firing up.
We talked a couple weeks ago. As soon as the azaleas bloom and they're in full bloom, they are just banging away on the sheep's head every day. Anytime you got a calm day and you can get out, you really need to get out past the Sand Island Spit where you can get some real clean water. The bay water is still murky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to catch as many up in the bay. But if you get around those rigs south of Sand Island, there's one in particular that people refer to as the triple rig, because it's like three pieces all tied together.
Right.
It's been loaded with sheephead, and a lot of the charter captains are just loading the boat out there.
What about when you approach these rigs? That's a good tip. What do you typically approach them from down current? Do you want to get up current and let your bait work back to the rig? Does it matter?
I like to get underneath the rig. I like to get underneath where get around the moat structure,
mm-hmm.
and get close to one side of the pylons or not. I want to drop my fresh dead shrimp down as close as I can to the bottom and then just start exploring the various depths. I'll fish on the bottom, then I'll bring it up a couple of feet, and I'll have a heavy enough weight, an ounce and a half or 2 ounce weight, to keep that bait from swinging all over the place. And you'll eventually locate the depth that they like. Now, a lot of these charter captains are out there. They're just drifting around the edges, and they're finding them like that, you know. So,
well, what about, sheep's head have a small mouth. They got a lot of teeth. What about hook size? Do you have a particular hook, and do you like circle hooks?
I don't really care that much for circle hooks, but I like that extra strong, short shank bait hook,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's real thick. And because a sheep's head with a mouthful of teeth like that guy, they'll bite a hook in two.
Yeah.
And it happens all the time.
Yeah.
And they are real good at stealing the baits. That's why I like to have a smaller, short shank hook.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing is, you know, when you're fishing around these rigs, it's important you got to get them away from that structure. So you're going to have a tighter drag typically. And like you said, they can break a hook. So you do need a strong hook. Well, Mike, thanks a lot. We'll have a safe weekend.
Later.
So now we're going to head down and talk to Bobby Abriscato. Abriscato, hey, Bobby, how you doing?
Well, you know what? I just won my lunch bet because I said there's no way Baya and Alan are going to be there at the same time on opening day of turkey hunting season.
Yeah,
and I was right.
Alan always gets sick about this time of year. I don't know.
What is that? What's up with that, man?
You know, he sent me a text message and said something about he had to go help a friend get his truck that was broken down. I said, Alan, you don't have to lie to me, you know?
My gosh, it seemed like he'd come up with something a little bit. It's ironic that it happened to break down the opening day of turkey
right, you know, but...
Yeah.
Well,
I know how you turkey guys are.
Yeah, I know.
Guys are.
Well,
not as bad as us trout guys.
Yeah, well, Bobby, you and I were talking yesterday, and I'm going to tease a little bit. We're working on something for saltwater anglers only. I'm really excited about that. That's coming up first week of April. We'll tell y'all a little bit more about that in subsequent shows. But one of the questions I asked you yesterday is how do you approach a day on the water? And one of the things that interested me was that you said, first and foremost, you look at the weather, not necessarily tides or that kind of thing. Am I right on that?
That's exactly right, man. It's the out of all of the factors that I look at when I'm planning it, that one, probably that alone, you think all the others combined, and that one to me is the most important one, you know, because I can fish around tide, you know, like you mentioned tide, and you have to be able to if you're going to fish, you know, as many days as I do. You just don't have the luxury of saying, well, I'm going to go on this day because it's a good tide or a good moon or whatever. So,
right.
You know, the big thing to me is the weather, you know, and then there's other things like we talked about. And of course, as you know, I can go on and on about it, so we won't do that. But yeah, you're exactly right. Weather, number
well,
one. Speaking of weather, man,
yeah.
We've had just a beautiful day today.
It's been gorgeous. I woke up down on Fowl River this morning and couldn't believe my eyes. That steam was rolling off the river, and I mean, it was like...
I'm surprised you made it in there yourself.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. But, you know, we got some weather coming in this weekend. It looks like we got a pretty good chance of rain both Saturday and Sunday with southwest winds. So let's talk about that. We got Saturday. I'm going fishing Saturday morning. I got southwest winds. I'm planning on fishing the lower end of the bay. Got a chance of rain. What do I want to? Where do I want to maybe focus my time?
Well, the rivers probably wouldn't be a bad bet. Still, you know, I think if you, if there's threatening weather coming, the good thing about the rivers, the local rivers I'm talking about, is you got places to hide out. You know, and there's still some fish in there. And unfortunately, we hadn't had any of that local rain, you know, that we're probably going to get this weekend. What we've had is pretty much cleared out, you know, so that wouldn't be a bad bet. I with the rain and the weather and that sort of thing, I wouldn't venture too far. I will tell you this, I was a little concerned about the trout fishing because the water temperature in the shallow flats, and they are whacking these fish right now. The water temperature dropped so much, but I was really pleasantly surprised this morning. I kind of started out where I'd been catching a few trout mixed in with some reds, and we really did better on the trout than we did on the reds early. We've crushed the reds, you know, as the day went on. So, you know, I guess what I'm getting at with all of that is if you can get down at the lower end of the bay, still from the bridge west down through the sound, you know, if the weather lets you, maybe sneak out and try the shoals, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of that, all of that's still going to work. I was a little nervous this morning when I looked at my water temperature and saw how much the water temperature dropped, but it didn't really seem to affect the fish. And hopefully, maybe we have a recording of it. I was hoping a couple weeks ago when it was starting to cool off, I said, it's not going to get cold enough to cause them to move out of this transitional mode. And I was right, you know. So I guess the other, you know, is just kind of if you've been catching them in an area over the last few weeks, this weekend you ought to be able to go right back and do that.
What are y'all doing well on as far as lure selection, bait selection right now?
Popping corks today, popping corks with both live shrimp and artificial bait. And, you know, that's the deal. If you're not, to me, you know, if you're not sure, man, you put that on, you know, as much as I'd love to. We had some mullet activity on the surface early this morning. I really kind of thought about throwing top water, but just not knowing for sure, I always go to that. And you're going to find out pretty quick if you're going to catch some fish, you know.
And you are able to get some live shrimp right now.
Yeah, we got some live shrimp, and then we caught them when we started getting them going real good. Started switching over to voodoos, putting a little scent on them, and switching over to voodoos, and it really almost didn't even seem to affect the bite.
You know, I've heard you. I was talking with a friend of mine last night, and he said he put on one of these voodoo shrimp. I need to be sponsored by voodoo shrimp. I need you to hook me up on that. But
you got somebody's got to hook me up.
Yeah,
man.
I know. We got to call Egret Baits and let them know that we're giving them all this free advertising. But no, I mean, those things really are unbelievable. We were talking last night. We were throwing some baits off the dock, and we said, man, you know, he said, man, I've caught 60 fish on this bait. And, you know, it's just they're unbelievable how well they hold up. But you've talked a lot about adding some scent to them. What kind of scent do you use?
Well, I use two, and really when I add scent, it's only when I'm red fishing, which we've been targeting for the last few hours.
Mm-hmm.
I add scent. When I'm just trout fishing, I don't worry too much about that. But as far as the scent, I use the Procure scent. It comes in a little tube. It's kind of a viscous liquid. And then I also like the little fish sticks, which is like a chapstick type thing, you know, the kind of deal you can just roll it out and just wipe a little on. I really like that. It's a little less messy, but both of them seem to really work real well.
Mm-hmm.
The only catch with the fish sticks is if you do use chapstick, don't leave those two laying next to each other on the dash. I can tell you that. I can speak from experience on that. You don't want to put fish sticks on your lips.
All right. Okay. Good deal. All right, Bobby. Well, good luck this weekend. Stay safe and don't get caught in one of those storms, all right?
Okay, JoJo. Have a good weekend.
You too. All right, let's head on up to Miller's Ferry. We're talking with Joe Dunn. Joe, what's the report?
Well, the water's up and down. It won't settle out hardly at all. But anyway, it's fell out some this week, and things should be a little bit better this weekend. So, you know, catfish still on the flats. None of that's changed. Bass still, you know, up in the grass mostly, crappie starting to go to the banks. So it's, you know, it's springtime, but I wish the water would settle out just a little bit more and clear up a little bit. But, you know, you still find some clear water. You're just going to have to hunt around places like Foster, back of the Buzzard Roost, you know, different places like that. You can find some clear water in those places, but a lot of places are still going to be, you know, pretty stained right now.
Right, right. Well, I know the hard part about this time of year, for me at least, is trying to decide, do I go turkey hunting or do I go fishing? And I know y'all had some luck this morning with the turkey, didn't you?
Yeah, we did good. So, yeah, it's just you got to flip the coin this time of year and make a decision and run with it.
yeah, no doubt about it. Well, it's yeah, it's not really much of a decision for me. I always go turkey hunting, but
okay. Well, if you get a couple of them under your belt, then you can go catch a few crappie.
There you go. No doubt. Well, you know, last week we were talking about the stained water actually, I have to say stained water. We were talking about the flooding, and
right.
One of the really good tips was that they were saying to fish creeks with a high bank, because if you knew of a creek that had a steep bank, that for you know the water couldn't get out into those
right.
trees.
You don't go out in the woods in there. And there's certain areas over there that's like that. And obviously, the closer as you go further downriver, the water doesn't fluctuate quite as much. And in some of those places in there, say the G's Bend Slough is one of them. The place they call Hogpen Slough is another one. They have banks that don't go way out in the woods. And that way, your fish are still right there pretty close.
Right.
But then as you go further upriver, like if you get up as far as Chilatchee, Boca Chitlin on some those sloughs up past there, well, then the water's just going to be all out in the woods there.
All right. But, well, thank you, Joe. You stay safe out there, all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All righty. All right. Well, we're going to talk to Jason Herman. Jason is with the Alabama Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. And this weekend, Jason, we've got a derelict crab trap removal going on. Is that right?
It's the following weekend, March 23rd and March 24th.
Okay, good deal. I'm glad I asked. So tell us a little bit about that program.
Well, Alabama Marine Resources, Mobile Bay NEP, and the Coastal Conservation Association, with NOAA, are hosting a volunteer derelict crab trap cleanup. They're trapped that get lost, and they stay in the environment, and they catch fish and crabs and other wildlife. They continue to catch them. So we need to get those out of there. And this program's a great way to get the community involved to help remove these traps from our waterways.
Right.
The first day, we're actually just inviting volunteer kayakers to help us mark them,
mm-hmm.
So we can find them on the main cleanup day. The main cleanup day is on the 24th, March 24th. But basically, that just helps us find them, even if the tide's up on the main cleanup day.
Right.
We put little PVC poles in. So on the 24th, Saturday the 24th, this is our main cleanup day, and we're asking for volunteers that have shallow draft-powered vessels. They go back out, and they bring these traps back to the dock. They'll also be recording data about bycatch and releasing any animals that they find. We welcome volunteers that don't have vessels. They could be invited to ride with some folks that do, or we need help back at the dock, helping unloading traps from the vessels and bringing them over to the dumpsters that we have there.
About how many crab traps did y'all get out of the Delta last year?
Last year was about 84, I believe. And so we mainly focus on the little shallow flats over there, something that we can actually get to.
Mm-hmm.
There's other traps that are in the deep waters, but we have to make them accessible for just kind of the everyday volunteer. That usually takes a little bit more equipment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know last year there was some folks that brought a food truck and all kind of stuff out there to make it a little better. I think y'all had some pretty challenging conditions too. But and y'all have the crab trap. The crabbers pull all their traps, right, on that weekend?
Yes, yes. We've sent out a press release for the crabbers that are fishing up there to pull their traps out for those 2 days.
Okay, great. Well, if somebody wants to volunteer, I was telling them when we lost you that they can go to outdooralabama.com and read about the process. But where do they need to go, and what do they need to do if they don't have a boat and they do want to help?
They can meet us on the 24th at 8 o'clock at Chocolata Boat Ramp.
Mm-hmm.
I do like to talk to most of the folks that volunteer, but we get folks that just show up, and that's fine. Our office is 251-861-2882, and if you connect with me, I'll give you specific information for each of those 2 days as well. But yeah, you're absolutely right. At the end of the park, at the end of the cleanup, we'll meet at Mare Park and have burgers and dogs. It's provided by the Coastal Conservation Association this year. Last year, it was LaForge and Wholesome that provided that. So we want to give a shout out to those guys.
Yeah,
too.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, great. Well, thanks, Jason, for letting us know. And